Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. I hope that you are enjoying your Sunday night, as we have got a jam-packed show for you today, because on the show, I'm going to have the latest March Madness update. I know that we got some games going on right now. It is Sunday night, but I'm going to talk about some of the upsets. I'm going to get into the men's bracket, the women's bracket. We also got what's going on Georgia Alabama Sports Live this week. And I want to give a special shout out to my alma mater, Freed Hartman University, for making it to the Fab Four. Yeah, that's what they call it in the NAIA. 30 wins, most wins in program history. And I'm going to actually tell you what's going on Georgia Alabama Sports Live this week and what's going on the sports beat for this week as well. Next week, it's my kids' spring break. I'll be playing some best of shows. I'll try to get maybe 10 to 15 minutes of some score updates. But I got some great content in the archives, including an interview I did with Gabe Reynolds 24 years ago. You're going to hear that on the radio version of the Sports Beat tomorrow on WQEE. I'm excited about that. As the interview aired in the year 2000. How about that? All right, so let's go ahead and get into the bracket, which my bracket is trash. I ripped it up. It's no good. I don't know how Auburn, well, I know how Auburn lost to Yale. I mean, Chad Baker Mazzara got ejected with, the first 3 minutes of the game. I mean, it was a questionable elbow call, but he gets ejected, and that completely flipped the momentum in that game as Auburn loses to Yale. I was completely stunned that Auburn lost this game. I had Auburn beating UConn in the Sweet 16. This was a team that they were deep. Coach Bruce Pearl probably had one of his best teams since the team that went to the Final Four in 2019. Auburn, I mean, had Janiah Broom. They had Jalen Williams. They just had stars everywhere, and I think that Chad Baker Mazzara's ejection completely changed the outcome of that game. And Auburn was up by 10. Yale just wouldn't stop missing. Like, they couldn't miss. They couldn't miss this guy, John Poladakis, who averages 13 points a game. He had a career game, 28 points, 10 of 15 from the field. And Yale moves on. Right now, they are playing San Diego State as we speak. And I don't have a score update on that. I do want to talk about Friday's games. I did touch up on Thursday's games on Friday's show because we did have Oakland beating Kentucky. And on the radio version of the show that you're going to hear on WQEE, I get into John Calipari's legacy. And is he on the hot seat? Because the buyout at Kentucky is $35 million. Can Kentucky fans, they're starting to get restless. Can he be out of a job, or does he want to try to go somewhere else? Because the expectations at Kentucky, let's not get it twisted. It's not to put players in the NBA. That's fine. That is John Calipari's legacy, and we've had some great ones in the NBA. It's to win championships. UConn's got multiple championships. Kansas has got multiple championships. Duke has got multiple championships. North Carolina has got multiple championships. If Kentucky is considered the blue blood that they are, they need to be in that stratosphere with a Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, and UConn. But right now, they're not. another upset loss in the first round of the tournament. Two in the last 3 years, this time to number 14, Oakland, which their season came to an end in the second round as NC State moves on to the Sweet 16. How about the NC State Wolfpacks? They weren't even considered a bubble team. They win 5 games in 5 days, win the ACC, get an 11 seed, and they are pulling off upset wins. And looking at Friday, wasn't a whole lot of surprises. I had UAB beating San Diego State. San Diego State wins that game. Marquette beats Western Kentucky. Northwestern over FAU. Baylor beat Colgate. The one that was shocking was Clemson beating New Mexico. I had New Mexico winning that game. And Colorado, I picked this one. Colorado beating Florida, 102-100. Texas A&M over Nebraska. You know, at one point, the SEC was 1-5. And Texas A&M, Tennessee, Alabama redeemed themselves and got the SEC back on track. These are Friday scores. Grambling, Purdue, Alabama wins over Charleston, Houston. James Madison, a 12 seed, beats Wisconsin. Grand Canyon beats St. Mary's, another 12 seed, and Utah State beats TCU. So moving on to the second round on Saturday, I was a little shocked that Gonzaga beat Kansas. I didn't think Gonzaga about 2 months ago were even going to get into this tournament as a number 5 seed beating the 4 seed Kansas. And how about the second year in a row where Kansas can't get to the Sweet 16? That has got to be a team, for a team that won the title 2 years ago, that has got to be disappointing. Tennessee beating Texas. Now, I kind of went against the grain, and I picked Texas to go to the Final Four. You know, they went to the Elite Eight last year. Tennessee just proven why they were deserving of a number 2 seed, and they move on to the Sweet 16. Don't forget, on tomorrow's show, I'm going to have the Sweet 16 preview, not only for the men, but for the women, as they're wrapping up their second round games tonight, and then they also have some more second round games coming up, and we also have NIT games. As Georgia defeated Wake Forest, they're going to take on Ohio State in the quarterfinals of the NIT. Moving back to the second round, Arizona beating Dayton. Michigan State and North Carolina. This was a very good second round matchup game, and I still think that Michigan State could have given them a game, but North Carolina, no problem advancing to the Sweet 16. Here's the thing. They got the number 1 seeds right. These teams are strong. Any one of the number 1 seeds can win a championship this year. That's how strong the number 1 seeds are. All the seeds have been seeded properly, and I think that North Carolina is going to do well. Probably going to take on Alabama. Right now, looking at the score, Alabama did defeat Grand Canyon. So, yeah, that is the Sweet 16 matchup. Clemson did defeat Baylor today. Duke over James Madison. I actually watched the Purdue-Utah State game. Purdue put up 106 points. Zach Edey is special. The 2-time Naismith Player of the Year. I think he's going to be a pretty good NBA player. Look, Christian Laettner was considered one of the greatest college basketball players of all time. And some people say he didn't pan out in the NBA. He actually put up good numbers in the NBA, and he was an all-star with the Hawks. I think that Zach Edey is going to be a fine NBA player. I know that players like Adam Morrison, Tyler Hansbrough, to some extent J.J. Redick, even though I thought J.J. Redick had a pretty good NBA career as well. I know it didn't pan out to the NBA, but I do think that Zach Edey is probably going to be a lottery pick, maybe a late first rounder. We'll see what the 2024 mock NBA draft has, but if you get a Zach Edey, you're going to get a pretty good player that stayed all 4 years with Purdue. I do think that Purdue gets to the Final Four, which would be huge because they haven't been there in over 40 years. All right, moving along, as you know, I got my scoreboard up. Right now, Texas A&M and Houston, they're locked in a 32-all tie. UConn's going to advance to the Sweet 16. The defending NCAA champion, UConn Huskies, they are more than likely going to take on San Diego State. It just depends on the Yale-San Diego State game that is happening late tonight, 10-12. I'm getting on Sunday night, and I'm not even bothering doing this show in the morning to try to get those scores that are late. But I expect San Diego State to win. Could be wrong. Yale could pull off the upset. But going back, Illinois beating the Dukes of Duquesne. I've got Illinois going to the Final Four. They had a very strong outing. And Creighton, a double overtime win over Oregon. I had Oregon going to the Sweet 16. But Creighton, who had a good season this year, you know, they're trying to get back to at least the Final Four. They've been to the Elite Eight. I mean, you got to get to the Final Four. I mean, if you're a team like Creighton that's had many great players in college and now in the Big East, the Creighton Jays have got to find a way to get to the Final Four. Iowa State, a team that won the Big 12, they had a very good win over Washington State. And so just taking a sneak peek of the Sweet 16 game starting on Thursday, Alabama, North Carolina. Look, Alabama, they were the overall number one seed last year. They lost in the Sweet 16 to San Diego State. My takeaway on Alabama is nobody's given them a chance against North Carolina. I think that Alabama could make the SEC proud if they can get this upset win, at least get to the Elite Eight for the first time since 2002. And I remember that team that they beat the number one overall seed, Stanford, to get to the Elite Eight. And then you got Illinois and Iowa State. That's going to be a very compelling game as you got the Big Ten champion going up against the Big 12 champion. Remember, the East is stacked. Remember, the winner of that game is going to take on UConn, San Diego State, or well, we'll see about that, but possibly Yale, but I think that it's going to be San Diego State. Clemson and Arizona. I mean, Arizona, that they were number two seed last year. They lose to Princeton in the first round. They have a very strong team. And then, you know, on Friday, Gonzaga taking on Purdue. I think that Purdue wins that game. I mean, Gonzaga's just happy to get to the Sweet 16. I mean, they did go to the Elite Eight last year, but this team is not the team of the past with Drew Timmy and Chet Holmgren. They just don't have the players they've had before. NC State and Marquette, it's a washout. I don't know if Marquette could win this game. I think NC State could just continue getting on a roll and making it to the Elite Eight. And then how about a fantastic game between Creighton and Tennessee? And then we also have some other games happening right now. Houston is leading Texas A&M. And so looking at the bracket, as you look at the, let me see, the Midwest. I got the East, UConn right now, the West, North Carolina is the number one seed. Houston, if they beat Texas A&M, they'll take on Duke. And Duke got by James Madison. And so my final four picks, you know, before this tournament even started, my final four picks were North Carolina, Illinois, Houston, and Texas. Well, I whiffed on Texas. Houston is still alive. Illinois is still alive. And North Carolina is still alive. So I'm happy to see that. But now that Texas is not in it, I'm pulling for Tennessee to get to the Final Four. That would be huge for Tennessee to do just that. So we've got the NCAA tournament for the men's bracket. The women's bracket, it's been fun. It really has. LSU, the defending champions, no problem, over Middle Tennessee State, 83-56. Iowa with Caitlin Clark, they roll in their first round game as they will have their second round game against West Virginia tonight. Actually, when this is being aired on WQEE, it will be Monday. And then, how about Iowa State? Now, Iowa State, they, oh, wow. They beat Maryland. I mean, they came back to beat Maryland. But Audie Crooks, 40 points and 12 rebounds as she shot 18 of 20 from the field. Very impressive. And then, how about the Georgia Bulldogs? I know that, you know, they don't get a whole lot of credit for being in the NIT, and it seems like 20 teams decided to skip the invitational to the NIT. But they get the victory over Wake Forest, 72-66. A very impressive victory against Wake Forest. They will take on Ohio State in the quarterfinals of the NIT. look, if Georgia can hang an NIT banner at Stegman Coliseum, I would say that was a successful season. I mean, there's sometimes, you know, South Carolina's got back-to-back NIT banners. Sometimes it's okay to try to win the NIT. And so I'm pulling for Georgia to try to win the NIT. All right, why don't we go ahead and take a break? We're going to go pay some bills. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about my alma mater, Freed Hardeman University. I'm hoping to have the sports information director, Dustin Seymour, on the show this week to talk about this team that got overshadowed by the girls team that won a championship in 2018. I remember when I was a student there over 20 years ago, there was talks that they're trying to entertain the idea of going to the NCAA Division II. Well, they've stayed in the NIA. It has paid off. And Monday night, taking on Grace in the Fab Four in Kansas City. You don't want to go anywhere. It's a Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live, and we'll be right back.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control, repair, bond, best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Newnan, 770-954-9941.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Monday through Fridays right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tune in each Sunday morning right here on WQEE 99.1 FM for The Key for Help from a High with Bishop Daniel Hardaway Sr. of Redemptive Life Worship Center at 9 a.m. Hear the Word of God and soak it in. You can join us for our live Sunday service at 10 o'clock a.m. till 12:30 p.m. at Redemptive Life Worship Center at 2265 Highway 54 in Marlin, Georgia. Have a blessed week.
Back here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. There's just so much sports going on, not just March Madness, but we got all the local sports that's going on. I'll have that in the later show. I'm also going to talk about the legacy of John Calipari as I went on a tangent, just talking about how much he has underachieved. I mean, let's just face it, UConn is overachieved. I mean, UConn is not expected to win five championships. Kentucky, if they don't win a championship, it's a complete failure. Kentucky basketball is on the level of Alabama football. I mean, that is the fan base. Is it unrealistic expectations for Kentucky basketball? Well, sure it is, because with the NIL and the transfer portal, you can't expect Kentucky to win every year. But you also can't bow out in the first round of the NCAA tournament two of the last 3 years. It's unacceptable at Kentucky, and I know that there are some angry fans that are calling for John Calipari to step down, or, you know, as a Memphis fan, why don't you just go back to Memphis? I'm just kidding. No, I love Penny Hardaway, but Memphis is not what Memphis was when John Calipari was there. I mean, let's be real for a second. All right. For those of you from my audience in Columbus, Georgia, who have no idea where Freed Hardeman University is, well, Let me educate you. It is a small, rural Christian school in Henderson, Tennessee, and it is my alma mater. I've had frequent guests who are also FHU alum, including Gabe Reynolds, Brad Page, Justin Dale, Rob Frazier, and I'm hoping to have the sports information director, Dustin Seymour, on the show this week. I plan on having Gabe Reynolds on the show tomorrow. Don't forget my exclusive, it wasn't exclusive, but it was an interview from the vault back in 2000. 24 years ago, I interviewed Gabe Reynolds at a baseball game as the basketball season wrapped up. Freed Hardeman basketball, since my first game I went to was 1998, they had a very talented player named Myrie Chapman, who was a freshman. He averaged 18 points a game. Myrie Chapman entered the transfer portal back when the transfer portal was not very popular. And he went to Texas A&M Corpus Christi, who's now an NCAA Division I school. Yeah, we lost a great player. Had just an incredible leader at the point guard, Daniel Hope. He was like one of the top assist leader. Tony Lambert was my favorite player. Unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago, but I loved Tony Lambert. He was a great guy. And I do want to, you know, give him credit, because a lot of the basketball players that I mentioned, you know, I'm Facebook friends with, I still keep in touch with. Tomas Orsanski, just a incredible big man down low. Rion Van Wyk. I mean, even Keith Wilson, who came from NCAA Division II school, and he just, during Midnight Madness, he just lit it up with his incredible dunks. Eric Jones, who was the transfer from Middle Tennessee State. I mean, just so many great players. Jamie Norsworthy, Wes Miller, Brad Nielsen. I mean, all these players. Clint Haynes, Tim Alsup. I mean, I really enjoyed calling Freed Hardeman basketball. And, you know, even though the Lady Lions basketball team was the team that was going to the Fab Four and making deep runs in the NAIA tournament every year, I could count on my fingers how many NAIA tournaments the Freed Hardeman Lions have been to. This is a big deal. They're in the Fab Four. They are playing Monday night against Grace in Kansas City. This game will be broadcasted on the NAIA YouTube channel. See how far we've gotten in the last 25 years with our technology. I remember it was a big deal when I was a student at Freed Hardeman and I got to be on the radio station calling these basketball games and baseball games as well. And I even did Freed Hardeman soccer. Big shout out to Eric Taylor. But the Freed Hardeman Lions basketball team was special to all of us because of the players, and it was exciting. Coach Mike McCutcheon, he went on to become the athletic director. We also had Coach Jason Shelton, who was an assistant at the University of Colorado. Right now, Drew Stutz is the head coach, and I just want to give Freed Hardeman their flowers. 30-4, this is the best record they've had in school history, and I watched them on the YouTube channel for the NAIA. And as they got their victories, and it has just been an incredible sight to see. And I just want to give Freed Hardeman just all the love in the world. And let's go win this thing. Absolutely. You know, the women won it in 2018. I don't know if there's signs going into Henderson, Tennessee. But the Freed Hardeman Lions, they're a number one overall seed. They were ranked fifth in the nation. And I think that they could pull this out. Let's get that victory. I'm excited. I'm excited to have Gabe Reynolds on the show tomorrow. As hopefully, on Monday, we're going to be talking about this game. And then Tuesday morning, hopefully we wake up to the Freed Hardeman Lions clinching a berth in the national championship. Which, by the way, the NAIA national championship games are broadcasted on ESPN+. So that is always great, and I enjoyed watching the Lady Lions basketball team when they were on ESPN+ back in 2014, back in 2018 when they won it all, and so definitely want to give them their flowers. All right, well, we flown by this portion of the show. Before I close the show, just want to check up on those March Madness scores. Houston is leading Texas A&M by 5 at the half. More than likely, they'll play Duke. I'll have my exclusive coverage of the Sweet 16 on Tuesday's show. We have Yale taking on San Diego State. That is the game that hasn't even started right now. And can Yale continue their Cinderella story, or San Diego State, a team that went to the championship, will they win? And will it be a rematch of the NCAA championship game last year? You'll have to find out. One more thing that I do want to talk about as we get ready for Major League Baseball. We've already had two games, the Dodgers and the Padres. This whole Shohei Ohtani interpreter thing, stealing money, gambling, it's a mess. It's also a big distraction. I know that WRBL's Tyler Redmond was down at spring training. By the way, listen to his podcast, Braves on Deck with Tyler Redmond. When it comes to Braves coverage, Tyler Redmond is one of the best in the business. They open the season at Citizens Bank Park against the Philadelphia Phillies. Look, the Braves can win the NL East and win 104 games or 105 games, but none of that matters unless they beat the Phillies in the playoffs, or at least get out of the first round of the playoffs, which they have suffered a playoff exit the last 2 years. I think it's a successful season if the Braves can get to the NLCS. Although, I do think they got a team, barring injuries, they got a team that can win the World Series. And there is no question about that. Look who was in the World Series last year, the Texas Rangers and the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks only won 84 games. The Rangers only won 90. They were tied with the Houston Astros. The Baltimore Orioles were the team that had the best record in Major League Baseball. So we'll see. We'll see how the baseball season goes. I am excited. UFL Week 1 is coming up this week as well. And of course, we got all your action on high school baseball on Georgia-Alabama Sports Live. I plan to be at the campus of Kendrick High School as Kendrick will take on Spencer, their longtime rival. That is going to be a huge game in 2A for both Kendrick and Spencer. The last time these two teams faced each other, Kendrick defeated Spencer 24-21. A player by the name of Tristan Holzendorf is one of those players you got to look out for the Kendrick Cherokees. And I also think it is very important just to give these kids coverage because, you know, I'm trying to see if we can cover just about every school in Columbus, because really it's all about the kids. It's all about getting that exposure so they could shine and get ready for the next level. All right, we're going to go ahead and sign off here on this broadcast. Don't forget, the rest of the show is going to be audio only on my podcast page, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcast. And the rest of the show is going to air on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key. You can catch an episode Mondays through Fridays from 2 to 3 p.m. So that's it. We'll be back with a break, and then we will have more show here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia-Alabama Sports Live, and we'll be right back.
Wishbone Fried Chicken is back in a brand new location, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan. Same great taste, the best chicken around, fish dinners. Open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dine in, take out, it's Wishbone Fried Chicken, right next door to their former location, bringing you the best chicken around. So great. Wishbone Fried Chicken, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A, here in Noonan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time on on WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Help protect your family from flu this season by taking three easy steps. First, get yourself and your family a flu shot. It's quick and can protect you all season. Second, take everyday actions to help prevent the spread of germs like flu. Cover your cough, stay home from work or school if you're sick, and wash your hands often. Third, there are drugs that can treat flu illness. These work best when started early. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
Welcome back to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live, and I'm here to talk about John Calipari's legacy. I was a huge fan of his when he led UMass to the Final Four in 96. In 2005, I moved to Memphis and became a Memphis fan, and John Calipari had the Memphis Tigers in the Elite Eight for three straight years and went to the NCAA Championship in 2008 with Derrick Rose. I was excited about what Memphis was about to build, and then the news broke. I remember exactly where I was. It was March 31st, 2009. John Calipari has accepted the job at Kentucky. Now, Kentucky not only is a blue blood, but the expectation is to win titles at Kentucky. Adolph Rupp has got four. Rick Pitino's got one. Tubby Smith has got one. But there is a three-year stretch where Kentucky was a dynasty in the 90s. And Tubby Smith was regularly averaging 26 wins a year, and it wasn't good enough. So Kentucky gets rid of him, gets a hot coach in Billy Gillespie, who was coaching at Texas A&M. And the 1 year they miss out on the NCAA tournament, they fire him. And in comes John Calipari. And I got to tell you, in the beginning, the expectations, because it was Kentucky, it's John Calipari. He's bringing these number one recruits over to Kentucky. At this moment, I'm sick to my stomach. I am not rooting for Kentucky. In fact, I'm rooting against Kentucky because John Calipari left Memphis, and Memphis has not recovered since Calipari has left Memphis. He takes John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins, who would have gone to Memphis under John Calipari. And in that first year, they went 35-3. They make it to the Elite Eight, where they lose to West Virginia. And some people would say that would be a disappointment, but it was a good season. Had two great players that would go on to play in the NBA. And if you look up and down their roster, Eric Bledsoe, he's playing in the NBA. Patrick Patterson, even though that was Billy Gillespie's guy, they had players in the NBA. Okay, let's go to year two for John Calipari. Year two. This is where they lose in the national semifinal to a UConn team that nobody was going to stop Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker was just playing like his hair was on fire. Kentucky was a number four seed in the 2010-2011 season. They had players like Brandon Knight, Terrence Jones, but they didn't really have the star power in John Wall and DeMarcus Cousins. They went 29-9. A lot of Kentucky fans were disappointed that they lost nine games, but they get to the Final Four where they lose to UConn 56-55. UConn would go on and beat Butler in the national championship. All right, in year three in John Calipari, they win the championship. And this was a special team because not only did they have Anthony Davis, which was probably the most dominant player in college basketball at the time, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist was also the number two overall pick, even though he didn't pan out in the NBA. They had Marquise Teague, Deron Lamb. I mean, they had a good team. And they win the championship, and everybody in Big Blue Nation is celebrating. They're having a party in Lexington. 2012 was the pinnacle, and then it all comes crashing down in 2013. In fact, Kentucky not only does not make it to the NCAA tournament, they lose to Robert Morris in the first round of the NIT. I have a poll out on my Twitter
There are four choices. What is the most disappointing year for Kentucky and under John Calipari? And that's up there. I think 2021. I'll get into that, where they completely missed the NCAA tournament. They had Nerlens Noel. They had Willie Cauley-Stein. They had Alex Poitras. Archie Goodwin was their leading scorer. But when you lose a guy like Anthony Davis and you lose Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, they're freshmen, and they go to the NBA draft and they get drafted number one and number two, what does John Calipari do? Well, he goes out and recruits. But you got all these one-and-done players. How can you draw up a plan and X's and O's to try to build something to repeat as champions? Obviously, Kentucky was going to drop off. I just never thought that Kentucky would completely miss out on the NCAA tournament. I mean, that must have been a strong field that year, because they went 21-12, 12-6 in the SEC. Normally, that would get you in the NCAA tournament. But remember, 10 years ago, the SEC was not the SEC that it is today. Okay, let's fast forward to 2013, 2014. Kentucky was a number 8 seed. They had players like Julius Randle. He was a very good player, you know, eventually in the NBA. They still had their core, Willie Cauley-Stein and Alex Poitras. They decided, you know, we're not going to go to the NBA. We're going to stick around and we're going to play in year two under Calipari's system. Well, as a number 8 seed, they upset Wichita State, who was a number 1 seed. Remember, Wichita State went to the Final Four the year before. They defeat Louisville, the defending NCAA champions. Well, that gets stripped away, of course. And then they go on a tear, a 3-point win over Michigan, who was a number 2 seed. And then they win over Wisconsin in the Final Four, 74-73, but lose to UConn in the championship. UConn was a number 7 seed, and of course, Shabazz Napier was the player that was very difficult to stop. And now let's fast forward to 2015. Remember when I told you how important it was that Alex Poitras and Willie Cauley-Stein decided to stick around? Well, they decided to stick around again. Willie Cauley-Stein is now a junior. Alex Poitras, also a junior. They had probably the most depth in 2015. Karl Anthony Towns, I mean, he only averaged 10 points a game, but he was going to go on to be the number 1 pick in the NBA draft. How about Devin Booker? He only averaged 10 points a game. John Calipari had his best team in 2015. You got Trey Lyles. You got Andrew Harrison. Tyler Ulis. Alex Poitras coming off the bench. A deep team. They went undefeated going into the Final Four game against Wisconsin and lose 71-64 to a Wisconsin team with Frank Kaminsky and Sam Decker. But Wisconsin would lose to Duke in the NCAA tournament final. All right, let's go to 2016. This is where Kentucky really started to overachieve and did not pan out in the NCAA tournament. This was an incredible team. They had Jamal Murray. He averaged 20 points a game. Tyler Ulis coming back for his sophomore year. Alex Poitras. I mean, when was the last time you heard of a player that played for Calipari all 4 years? Alex Poitras at this time is a senior. Very good team. Just did not pan out in the NCAA tournament. They lose to Indiana in the second round as a 4 seed. Did not meet expectations in 2016. 2017 was the year they lose to North Carolina in the Elite Eight, and they were a number 2 seed. North Carolina was a number 1 seed. There is no reason to get discouraged losing to North Carolina. By the way, De'Aaron Fox just took Lonzo Ball to school in the Sweet 16 game against UCLA, but they lose to North Carolina in 2016. Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, Bam Adebayo, these are all NBA players now. I love the game of De'Aaron Fox. And these were freshmen that John Calipari recruited for the 2016-2017 season. Some people would say this was a disappointment. They did go 32-6, but they did lose to North Carolina in the Elite Eight. Let's fast forward to 2017-2018. So they were a number 5 seed. They defeat Davidson and Buffalo, and they got an easy path to the Sweet 16. But here they are taking on a Kansas State team that's a 9 seed, and they end up losing. This team loaded. Kevin Knox, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, P.J. Washington, Jared Vanderbilt, all these players playing in the NBA. What happened in 2018 as they can't get out of the Sweet 16? All right, 2019, this was the year they lose to Auburn in the Elite Eight, and you got to give credit to Auburn. I mean, when you're playing a conference opponent in the NCAA tournament, it's like a washout. You know each other, you know the game plans, and it's like even Stevens when you get to play a conference opponent in the NCAA tournament. They went 30-7. They were a number 2 seed. They lose to Auburn in the Elite Eight. P.J. Washington decides to come back. Great freshman class to include Tyler Hero and Emmanuel Quickley, who are now playing in the NBA. But Kentucky, and by the way, this will be the last time they get to the Elite Eight for in a while. This was 2019. This was 5 years ago. Let's see what Kentucky has done since then. All right, 2020, they went 25-6, 15-3. Would have made the NCAA tournament, but we all know that that was canceled because of COVID. Emmanuel Quickley comes back for his sophomore year. He's actually leading Kentucky in scoring. How about Tyrese Maxey? Are you kidding me? John Calipari recruits Tyrese Maxey, who's now an all-star playing alongside Joel Embiid for the Philadelphia 76ers. To be fair, they would have made the NCAA tournament in 2020. Now let's go to 2021. This is where I couldn't believe that Kentucky had a losing record. 9-16, and you can't make the argument that was a COVID year. They went 8-9 in the SEC. They just did not pan out that year. And I'm looking down their roster. They don't have anybody that's really making an impact in the NBA. Davion Mintz didn't make it to the NBA. He was their leading scorer. Brandon Boston, Oliver Starr, Isaiah Jackson. Yeah, they didn't really have that much of a team in 2021. And remember, because of the COVID year, everybody that comes back has an extra year of eligibility. Doesn't really matter for Kentucky, that's known for a one-and-done school. And so they're at a disadvantage coming out of COVID. So let's go to 2021-2022. They were a number 2 seed, and they lose to St. Peter's. We all know the story about St. Peter's going to the Elite Eight. NBA players, including Oscar Tabuishi and Ty Washington. The jury's still out on these two, just to let you know. All right, let's go to 2022-2023. They're number 6 seed. Properly seeded, they did lose 12 games that year. They lose to Kansas State. That was a number 3 seed. Oscar Tabuishi does come back. They have Cason Wallace, Chris Livingston. I haven't really heard about those players yet for Kentucky. And then this year, where they are projected to have two of the top 5 picks in this upcoming NBA draft, to include Rob Dillingham and Reed Shepard. Antonio Reeves, the senior, led the team with 20 points a game. They lose to Oakland 80-76. And so if you're a Kentucky fan, where do you go from here? John Calipari has done a fantastic job getting players to the NBA, but it has not panned out in the NCAA tournament, and they have not made it to the Elite Eight since 2019. They haven't made it to a Final Four since 2015. And so we're coming up on a decade of Kentucky not making it to the Final Four. And this is a blue blood. Look at all the other teams that have made it to multiple championships and have won multiple championships. North Carolina, Kansas, UConn. What about Kentucky? Why can't Kentucky get it done if they have the best players in college? Why can't they get it done? And with the NIL and the transfer portal, will Kentucky continue being a one-and-done school? Because now you got NIL. Kentucky boosters have got money. That could be a motivating factor for players who want to stick around for at least 2 or 3 years playing under Coach Calipari's system. I don't blame it completely on Coach Cal, because he does recruit the best players in high school or in the G League or AAU. That's what he does. But it hasn't resulted to winning in the tournament, because you go up against a team like Oakland that has a bunch of seniors. You go up against a team like St. Peter's that has a bunch of seniors. If you're a Kentucky fan, you have got to be disappointed beyond all belief. In fact, you're probably waking up this morning in disbelief that Kentucky's already out of the tournament. This is the best I've ever seen the SEC. And Kentucky did have a very good season with all the other SEC schools like Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina had a good year, Florida. Kentucky went toe-to-toe with all these teams in the SEC. This is the best I've ever seen the SEC. But Kentucky, once again, cannot get it done in the tournament. And that is probably going to be the narrative going into next year, because Kentucky is still going to have the number one recruiting class, and it's just not going to pan out in the tournament. All right, I spent the last 15 minutes talking about John Calipari in Kentucky. Why don't we take another break? And when we come back, we got more show for you here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. You don't want to go anywhere. It is presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live, and we will be right back.
At Jersey Mike's, they slice your order fresh right in front of you. And let me tell you, watching that can send a rush of emotions through a person. Excitement, impatience, baby-like wonder, indecisive, anticipatory chewing, nervous pacing, happy claps, and finally, jealousy, because that's this guy's sub. I should order one. Good idea.
Sliced right in front of you. It's a Jersey Mike's thing. A sub above.
Welcome back to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. And a couple more segments before I get you out of here. Some of the local stuff happening in and around the Chattahoochee Valley. The Columbus River Dragons get the three-game sweep over the Motor City Rockers. 5-2 on Friday, 8-5 on Saturday. And the Sunday matinee was a 4-3 win. The River Dragons have 119 points in the Federal Prospects Hockey League. 36-4-3, and they are firing on all cylinders. Right now, they have a 15-point lead over the Bemington Black Bears. The Carolina Thunderbirds, a team that has beaten the River Dragons twice in the regular season, has 103 points. They will wrap up the regular season on April the 12th. It is Fan Appreciation Night, as they will take on the Carolina Thunderbirds, and then we get ready for the playoffs. They got three more home games left. Two more games on April the 5th and 6th. It is the Blue Ridge Bobcats, and then we'll have that finale on April the 12th as we get ready for the playoffs. The River Dragons are 36-4-3 with 119 points on the season. The Columbus Lions were expected to play the Mississippi Raiders on March the 28th. However, that game is in jeopardy when the league decided to remove the Mississippi Raiders from the schedule from the Corpus Christi Tritons. And that could mean that that Lions-Raiders game is in jeopardy. The Columbus Lions will have their home opener on April the 12th as they will take on the Amarillo Venom. Remember, there are five home games on the schedule for the Columbus Lions. Get your tickets at columbuslions.com or go to the Civic Center box office as we get ready for indoor football. As one season comes to a close, the River Dragons, you got the Columbus Lions that are going to be opening their season and looking forward to playing their first year in the American Indoor Football League. The Columbus State baseball team was able to take 2 out of 3 against South Carolina Aiken. As right now, their record is 19-12. They will take on Auburn University at Montgomery at Burger King Stadium, Ragsdale Field, this Tuesday. And then they'll have a 3-game series at Augusta. The Columbus State baseball team, led by their manager Greg Appleton, has had a strong team so far, led by their two top hitters, Derek Weil and Wynn Johns. Meanwhile, The Columbus State softball team get the 3-game sweep over South Carolina Aiken at Cougar Field over the weekend, and they are 22-13 overall. They will have a doubleheader at Cougar Field this Tuesday against West Alabama, starting at 3 p.m. And right now, the player that looks like she is in contention to be Peach Belt Player of the Year is Brooke Miller. There is no question she's had a fantastic season with 16 home runs and 56 runs batted in. All right, just in case you're wondering, Georgia-Alabama Sports Live, we continue our baseball coverage this week. I will be at the campus of Kendrick High School for a rivalry that really means a lot, the Battle of South Columbus. It's Spencer and Kendrick. The last time these two teams met, Kendrick defeated Spencer 24-21. This was a makeup game from a rainout. And then also some of the other games that we have on the schedule. We have Pacelli and Calvary Christian. That is going to be on Georgia-Alabama Sports Live on Tuesday. Some of the key baseball games happening this week. We've got Central of Macon that's taking on the Jordan Red Jackets. How about the Jordan Red Jackets getting a win over Rutland, who was undefeated, and Jordan trying to get into the playoffs. They are 6-7 on the season, and we've got a colossal baseball game on Wednesday at Darnell Nelson Field in Phenix City, Alabama. The LaGrange Grangers, the 4A runners-up the last two seasons, taking on the Central Red Devils, who went to the state championship last year, won the state title 2 years ago, and Central is firing on all cylinders with a 19-1 record. That's going to be a fun game. A lot of schools this week and next week are going to be on their spring break, so there's some baseball games that are not going to be happening. The schedule is light. I know that we'll be on spring break next week, and then we'll get back to the swing of things. So looking forward to that. UFL week one is approaching us this Saturday, March the 30th. We'll have two games on Saturday. It is the defending USFL champions going up against the defending XFL champions. The Birmingham Stallions taking on the Arlington Renegades. And then the next game is the St. Louis Battlehawks. They are taking on the Michigan Panthers. On Sunday, we have the DC Defenders taking on the San Antonio Brahmas, followed by the Memphis Showboats taking on the Houston Roughnecks. That is going to be NFL Week 1. Also in Columbus, the outdoor soccer team that plays in the United Premier Soccer League, Fountain City FC, will have their home opener on March the 30th at Otis Spencer Stadium. I wanted to make sure to give them a shout out. And also, I wanted to give a shout out to my alma mater, Freed Hardeman University. I do talk about them a lot. In fact, my next guest on tomorrow's show also went to Freed Hardeman University. He was the student coach for the basketball team. The men's basketball team is in the Final Four. I know in the NAIA they call it the Fab Four, but this is quite an accomplishment. When I was going to school at Freed Hardeman, it was the girls' team that went to the Fab Four in 99, and they had incredible runs for 20 years, finally winning the championship in 2018. But now the men's team having a terrific season. 30-4, that's the best record they've ever had in the history of the school for men's basketball. After taking care of business in the first two rounds, as they hosted the first two rounds of the NAIA tournament, they went to Kansas City, took care of business against the Masters and then Central Baptist in the Elite Eight, and now they punch their ticket to the Fab Four, where they will take on Grace tonight, 5 p.m. I'm thinking 5 p.m. That is going to be Central time. And, you know, we've come a long way from, you know, being on the radio station as I was for 91.5 WFHC to now the games being live streamed on the NAIA's YouTube channel. I know that technology has changed in the last 20 years. I remember that it was a big deal when I was calling games on the radio. And so I am excited that the Lions are in the Fab Four, and I just want to give a special shout out to all the former players that played for the Freed Hardeman men's basketball team, like Daniel Hope, Wes Miller, Jamie Norsworthy, the late Tony Lambert, Tomas Orosanski, Eric Jones, Dietrich Watts, Christopher Smith, Aaron Nelson, Kyle Techman. Man, there's just so many that I am forgetting. But here's what I'm going to do. We're going to go ahead and play the exclusive interview that I did with Gabe Reynolds back in the year 2000 when he was the student coach at Freed Hardeman University for the men's basketball team. We're going to play it right here. Got it straight out of the archives. I was actually calling a baseball game between Freed Hardeman and Lipscomb, and it was the final time that Freed Hardeman was playing Lipscomb in the NAIA because at the time, back in the 99-2000 season, Lipscomb was making the transition to NCAA Division I. And so Gabe Reynolds joined me up in the press box. At the time, his name was Carnes Field. I mean, that has been long gone. They have renovated that baseball field, and it's a brand new press box and everything. And so Gabe was kind enough to join me between innings. And so you're going to listen to that interview right here on the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. And then tomorrow, I'm going to have Gabe Reynolds on the show. So you're going to get this interview that I did with Gabe Reynolds 24 years ago. And then Gabe Reynolds is going to be on the show tomorrow. All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge. I'm going to go ahead and close out the show with the interview I did with Gabe Reynolds back in the year 2000. Have a great rest of your day, everybody.
You're listening to the station with the most variety in West Tennessee. 91.5 WFHU Henderson.
A lot of injuries. What was your impressions on the season, and what do you look for next year?
We had a really good season and played a lot of good ball, but the injury bug did hit later on in the season, which kind of took its toll on the team. Coach McCutchen got his players ready for every game and went out there, and they did what they could. So unfortunately, the shots didn't fall. Sometimes the calls didn't go our way. But we can't dwell on the past. We can only reload and get ready for next season. Next season is going to be a really good season because we're returning a lot of players, and we're also going to bring in some key freshmen. I expect a lot of good things from our Alliance basketball team next season. It's only going to be, we're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the Trans-South Conference.
Ryan, with the seniors departing, Daniel Hope and Brad Nielsen, what type of players do you look for to step into those starting roles? As you guys are losing two starting players, however, you do have a lot of young players like Ronnie Green and Eric Jones that could step into the starting role, and also the redshirt freshmen, they're going to come in and they're going to do a lot of good things.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to replace a Daniel Hope and a Brad Nielsen. But like you said, our young players are going to step up. Keith Wilson is redshirting, and he's going to come in. He's going to make a tremendous impact on the team as well.
All right, thanks. That's Gabe Reynolds, the student coach for the Freed Hardeman Lions basketball team, who ended their season on Thursday night.
When you really need something to get you through a long graduation ceremony, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are there to give you a thrill. With varieties like Trolley Sour Bursting Crawlers, the worms' soft and chewy texture, surprising flavor combinations, and neon bright colors will give everyone a reason to celebrate. So when you want to notch the festivities up a couple degrees, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are the perfect way for everyone to celebrate. Shop now for any trolley that crawls your way.
You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.